Listen, I do love, like, I love being your pastor. Like, I really do. Like, this is a dream job for me. And so, which is great because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Okay, we're going to talk about specifically, really, my job description. Okay, I'm going to preach my job description to you this morning. That's my plan. Really, not just my job description, but the job description of the pastor elder as we see it in Scripture. Okay, and the reason I'm doing that is because we're in a series. We've been talking about kind of the structure of the church. And obviously, the role of pastor elder is a really important role in the structure of the church. But just to kind of reorient us about around kind of where we've been, in case you haven't been with us or you've missed the last few weeks, we are in the fourth week of a series that we've titled The Trellis and the Vine. And that imagery, kind of what's behind that is this idea of the church is the vine, right? The church is the thing that we want to see grow and thrive and be healthy and flourish and fruitful, right? That's what we want to see. But if you look at a vine like out in a garden or wherever vines grow, there's almost always something under that vine that helps it to grow and thrive and flourish, okay? And so that's what the trellis is. And when I say trellis, really what we're talking about is the structure of the church, okay? How has the Lord through Scripture kind of ordered his church and structured his church in such a way that it can grow and it can flourish and it does thrive, okay? And so that's what we've been talking about the last few weeks is really just what does the Bible say about the structure of the church? Okay, that's really the question underneath all of this. And so a couple weeks ago, I put a sentence up on the screen. I think I have it for you again this morning. And this is what I would say this is how the Bible summarizes the structure of the church, okay? Or how I would summarize, let me rephrase, how I would summarize what the Bible says about the structure of the church. And that's that the church is Jesus-ruled, elder-led, deacon-served, congregationally accountable, okay? So far, we've kind of tackled the bookends of that. We've talked about the church is Jesus-ruled because Jesus is the head of the church. It's his bride. It's his body. It belongs to him, period, right? Jesus said, I will build my church, okay? The church belongs to Jesus. And then we talked about, how Jesus has authority over the church, but he also entrusts a measure of his authority to the church body, right? To the congregation, to the members of the church. Matthew 16 and 18, we looked at a couple weeks ago. Jesus says, hey, I will give the church the keys of the kingdom, right? That's language of authority. He talks about binding and loosing. And so the point there is that the gathered congregation, like the members of the church, exercise and represent Jesus' authority here on earth, okay? And that means a lot of things. We won't hash it all back out again. You can go find the sermons on podcasts, on our website, all that, if you want to go back and listen to that. But one of the things that the church does in exercising its authority, one of the things the church does is recognizes, raises up, and affirms men who are gifted and called to lead the church. Okay? These men are called elders or pastors. Those words can be used interchangeably. We'll talk about that a little more in just a minute. But that's why in that sentence, we say the church is Jesus ruled. It's his church. Okay? But it's also elder led because God has so organized the church in such a way that there are, again, gifted men who are called and equipped to lead his church in various ways. And so really that's what we're going to look at this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's just read through it all together, and then we're going to walk through it kind of slowly. All right, here we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Peter writes, "So I exhort," or "I encourage," strongly encourage would be the word. "I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Right? This is the word of the Lord, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So as we talk about the role and responsibilities of elders. Okay, that's really what we're going to talk about today. And one thing I want to point out is that throughout Scripture we see at least three different words used for the same person, the same office. Okay, and we even see it here in this passage, right? If you look at verse 1, Peter says, hey, I exhort the elders. So you got the word elders. Okay, verse 2, Peter uses the verb shepherd, which is where we get our word pastor from, right? Pastor is a shepherd. So you got elders, you got pastors. And then if you jump down to verse 3, it says that elders and shepherds should exercise oversight. So elsewhere in the Bible, you will see the word overseer, one who exercises oversight. In the Greek word, that's translated, it's kind of where we get the word bishop from, if you've heard the word bishop. So you got elder, you got pastor, you got overseer. The Bible uses all three of those words interchangeably. They are the same person, okay? The reason I bring that up to you here is because inevitably I am going to use those interchangeably this morning, and I just want you to realize I'm talking about the same person, the same role, the same office, all right? Pastor, elder, overseer, okay? So, but with that said, let's keep going, all right? First thing we see, all right, we're just going to walk through those first four verses we just read. We're going to walk through them slowly. First thing we see from 1 Peter is that an elder-led church is led by multiple elders. Right? Look at verse 1 again. Peter writes, it says, I exhort the elders, plural, among you. Okay, and then he jumps down in verse 2 and he talks about, I exhort the elders to shepherd the flock. So you got multiple elders, one flock. Okay? The regular pattern in the New Testament is multiple elders leading a single church. Okay? Regular pattern in the New Testament. If you don't believe me, I brought receipts. Here you go. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. And when they had appointed elders, plural, in every church, singular, okay? Keep going. Acts 15, 4. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church, singular, and the apostles and the elders, plural. Right? A few verses later, Acts 15, 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, plural, with the whole church, singular. Right? Acts 20, 17. Now from Miletus, he sent Ephesus and called the elders, plural, of the church, singular. Right? Then you got Paul's words to Titus in chapter 1, verse 5 of the book of Titus. He says, the reason I left you, Titus, in Crete, was to set right what was left undone, and as I directed you, to appoint elders, plural, in every town, singular. No, that doesn't mention a single church, but remember, this is first century Christianity. There's not a church on, you don't go to town and find like 17 churches on every corner, okay? There's like the church in Crete, okay? So you got one church, multiple elders, okay? Over and over and over and over again, right? The regular pattern in the New Testament is multiple elders leading a single church, okay? That's not to say, right, that churches that only have one pastor or one elder are necessarily wrong, okay? Right, let's do this. Let's do a participation exercise. How many of you guys grew up in churches? Anybody grow up where there's multiple elders, multiple pastors? Got a few. Okay, anybody grow up, probably most of us, if you have a church background, grew up where there's just kind of one pastor. Okay, that's most of us. What about kind of an add-on to that? Grew up in a church where there's one pastor, but there's also a bunch of deacons that basically function like elders because they call the shots. Okay, we're going to talk about deacons in a couple weeks, all right? I love our deacons, by the way. They're amazing, okay? My point is, like, it's not to say that a church with only one pastor or a single pastor is necessarily wrong. Sometimes churches don't, like, have multiple qualified, like, gifted, biblically qualified men to serve in the role of elder, okay? So you have one, right? The only thing less desirable than having one biblically qualified pastor would be having, like, people who take on the role of a pastor or elder but actually aren't biblically qualified to do so. Okay, see example of when deacons run the church. Okay, now, shots fired. Okay, anyways, that said, like, there is a biblical precedent for multiple elders to lead in a single church, okay? Biblical precedent. And aside, I would say aside from the biblical theological, right, there's also just the practical, right? The practical aspect of having multiple men responsible for leading the church. Okay, one, you get accountability, right? It's not just one guy calling the shots, running the show, okay? You also get, like, you're spreading the burden and the weight of ministry, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, like, there's a weight to this role, right? It's a blessing, but there's a burden to it, okay? And I'll just be honest with you, like, for me personally, I don't want to do this alone, right? As the church grows and we're seeing more people, like, I feel more and more weight, like, I cannot do this on my own, okay? And here's the reality. You can run a lot faster when you run by yourself. I'm much more interested in running further than running faster, right? The statistics on pastoral burnout and pastors just dropping out because they're overwhelmed and burdened and discouraged, like, I don't want to be a statistic, okay? And so, that's why, like, I think there's wisdom in us moving to, striving to become a church that has multiple men serving in the role of elder to help lead and exercise oversight over this congregation, okay? Now listen, it won't happen overnight, okay? You don't just snap your fingers and, like, all right, now we've got 14 elders, okay? That's, Paul actually says, hey, be really slow in appointing someone to the office of elder, okay? Because it's a really important, weighty, significant task. It's not something you just do without thinking about, okay? So it won't happen overnight, but by God's grace, we'll get there. And if you want to know more about what that might look like, pick up one of those blue folders out there, kind of outlines the process, okay? With that said, let's keep going. Verse 2. Here's where we begin to see, like, what the elders are called to do, right? Peter says, first thing, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, right? The primary task of an elder is to shepherd and care for the sheep, right? To love, to care, to watch over, okay? And that means a lot of things, right? Elders, pastors primarily, like the primary way we care for the sheep, care for the flock is to feed, right? Through the preaching and teaching of the word, that is primary. Okay, but it's not the only thing, right? Elders care for the flock by providing counsel. So if you think of preaching as like the public ministry of the word, you got counsel as sort of the private ministry of the word. When necessary, elders, pastors, overseers care for the flock by confronting the sheep that stray, right? Because we've all got a little bit of that in us, right? You guys remember the old hymn, Prone to Wander? Right? We're sheep. Sheep are prone to wander. And the role of a shepherd, a pastor, an elder is to say, hey, like, to take the shepherd's hook and say, where are you going? Get back over here, right? Okay? The elders protect the sheep, right? It's our job to protect the flock, okay? Bible has a lot of warnings, especially in the book of Acts and in the letters that Paul writes. There's a lot of warnings to, like, hey, like, watch out for the sheep. Watch out for the wolves that are going to come in. Okay? It's the role of an elder, of a pastor, of a shepherd to protect the sheep, both from what's going on out there, right? But also, like, what's going on in here, okay? It's the role of the elders, to shepherd, care for the flock. But I also think it's worth noting that, like, he draws some boundaries, right? He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And the implication there is that there's a specific group of people that the elders are responsible for, okay? And this is I would just kick you back a couple weeks ago when we talked about church membership, right? Myself and any future elders here, like, we are responsible primarily for the members, the people who say, Heartland City Church is my church home, my church family. I've united with them, okay? Now listen, if you're not a member here, like, if you come here with any regularity, I'm going to feel some amount of responsibility for you, okay? I just am, right? But I have a unique responsibility to the members here, okay? I'm supposed to shepherd the flock of God that is among me. It's probably like, I feel zero pressure to shepherd people on Facebook. They're not mine, okay? So I just kind of stay in my lane, bro. You know, like I'm responsible for those of you that are here, okay? I'm accountable to you. And according to the author of Hebrews, I will be held accountable for you. Okay, and not just me, anybody that there would be an elder here someday, okay? Speaking of, if you are this is kind of a side note, if you are a member here or a regular attender here, you will be hearing from us in the coming weeks about covenant membership, basically just moving your membership formally and officially to Heartland City Church as January the 4th approaches. So if your address or your email address is on file, keep watch on your mailbox and inbox in the coming weeks. Okay, I know some of you have full inboxes. Let's keep the train rolling before I get in trouble. Verse, I love you. Verse 2. One of the ways that the elders shepherd the flock of God is by, he says, exercising oversight. Okay, in one form or another, I've been in like full-time vocational ministry 13 plus years, and I've heard in one form or another something along the lines of, "Pastor, you just preach the word, let us take care of the rest." Okay, and usually it comes from, like, I don't be fair, it comes from godly people who want to serve the pastor and who want to serve the church. Okay, well-meaning. Okay. But to be a pastor or an elder, I would submit to you, is to do more than just preach the word. Again, primary responsibility, yes. Okay, but elders and pastors are called to exercise oversight, to lead. Right? Pastors are called to lead. Okay, if you think of the role of a shepherd, like literal agrarian shepherd that's tending sheep. Okay, he has to feed the sheep, right? But there's much more that goes into it than like, let's just throw out some food and feed the sheep. Okay, there's like the shepherd, there's logistics. Hey, where are we going? What pasture are we going to? Where can we find what we need to feed you, right? There's planning and trying to figure out where are the available resources that we can go, right? There's much more to it than just throw out some food and call it a day, right? Elders, pastors, shepherds are called to lead. Like, elders should be aware of, knowledgeable in all that's going on in the life of the church, should be like that doesn't necessarily mean that elders have to be hands-on in everything, okay? But it does mean that elders should give guidance and wisdom and influence to pretty much everything, because we're going to be held accountable for the church. And part of being held accountable for the church is to say, hey, I have a responsibility to lead here, right? To give direction, to give counsel, to cast vision, right? To plan, to organize. How are we going to spend our money? How are we going to, right? It's all consuming, okay? It's much more than just standing up here and talking for 35, 40 minutes, okay? And here's, like, I've heard pushback on that before, but here's my answer to pushback. Are we like about to blow away here? Some of you guys in the back, you might want to move over to this side. I don't know what's going on. Here's what I would say. If you won't trust the pastors and elders you put in place to lead in like logistical, practical things, you shouldn't trust them with your soul. Okay? Right, and you shouldn't affirm them in pastors and elders in the first place. Okay, so with that said, Peter goes on in verse 2. So, shepherd the flock of God that's among you, exercising oversight. And then he starts to give some sort of conditions, right? He says, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Okay, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week when we talk about the qualifications for an elder, who can be an elder. Because one of the qualifications is you should aspire, you should want to be an elder. Okay, but basically, the point here is that elders should want to elder. Right? Elders should want to fulfill that role. If you have to twist someone's arm to fulfill a role, they don't need to fulfill that role. right? If you have to guilt someone into a role, they don't need to be in that role, right? That's what it means to, we don't exercise the office of elder, pastor, shepherd under compulsion. We do it because we want to, not because we feel like we have to, okay? And it goes on. So not only should you do that willingly, right, but you also should not do it for shameful gain, but eagerly, is what he says. And really, that question gets to the heart of a man's motivation. Why does he want to shepherd? Why does a man want to be a pastor? Why does he want to lead in the church? Okay? Like, the idea here is that an elder's motivation should never, never be, what's in it for me? Okay? And that can look a lot of different ways. Right? We can start with money. Okay. This is not saying that elders should not be paid or compensated, right? Paul has some pretty strong words for making sure that as you are able, you care for your pastors and your elders. Okay, he says, 1 Timothy 5:17, elders who rule well should be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Okay, that's a reference to being compensated, right? Elders and pastors should be fairly compensated as they are able to. And thank you for being generous so that I can be compensated and put food on the table for my family, okay? So it's not saying the elders should never receive payment for what they do, okay? But it is possible to say, I'm just in it for the money. And this is what he's warning against. Only reason I'm leading, only reason I'm pastoring, only reason I'm shepherding is because I'm in it for the money, okay? But it's not just money, it could be other things, okay? In our bylaws, we're making provision for what we hope would be a combination of both paid and unpaid elders, staff elders, lay elders, okay? So what about those who don't get necessarily paid by the church? What about, if you want to be an elder, you want to lead because you're just power hungry, that's shameful, right? That's saying, what's in it for me? I want power. I want influence. I want control, right? That's shameful gain. That's shepherding for shameful gain, okay? There's other ways. You could desire to shepherd for things like, oh, I just want people to think highly of me. Right? I can tell you, listen, if you want everybody to think highly of you, don't pastor a church, okay? Right? At any given moment, there's some number of you that are not excited about something I'm doing or saying, okay? Right? So I would just say, like, if your idea of I want to be an elder, I want to be a leader someday so that people will think well of me, so that my reputation kind of gets a boost or a bump, like that would be to pursue the office for shameful gain. And Peter's like, no, it's not what this is about. Okay? Elders are called to shepherd and lead eagerly. Right? Eagerly. It's to say, I want to do this because I feel like the Lord is calling me into this, not I want to do this so that I can get paid or so that I can get power or so that I can gain popularity or so that I can fill in any other blank, okay? It goes on. More qualifications. Verse 3, it says that elders are not to be domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Okay, first thing, let's just recognize the office of elder is a role of authority. Okay, the fact that he says, like, hey, don't domineer over those in your charge suggests that there are some that are, like, you're in charge of. You have authority over as an elder, spiritual authority over. Okay, so the office of elder is a position of authority, but I would submit to you that authority in Christ's kingdom looks way different than the authority in the kingdoms of this world. Jesus has some things to say about this in Matthew chapter 20. Right? He's talking to his disciples, and he says, hey, the Gentiles, in other words, those that are far from God at that point in time, those who were far from God, they exercise authority by just lording it over people and kind of top-down, heavy-handed, domineering, my way or the highway. And Jesus says, that's not how things roll here. Okay, Jesus kind of flips it upside down. It's like, if you want authority, you want to be in a position of authority, you better stoop low. Be willing to serve. Right? Be willing to go first. Be willing to pour yourself out, empty yourself out for others. Okay? And so the idea of a person being domineering in the role of an elder in that office, holding that position of authority, is incompatible with what it means to have authority in Christ's kingdom. Okay? And I would also submit to you, this is a good reason for multiple elders in a church. It is much harder for a single pastor elder to morph into like a dictator when he's flanked on either side by men who are sharing the load with him, who are holding him accountable for his leadership. Okay? So not domineering, but excuse me, but being examples to the flock. Okay, elders are called to be examples. That means like elders should be the ones to go first. Okay, and when I say go first, that means like set the tone, set the example. Right? Elders should be the ones who model sacrificial service to the church. Right? There should be nobody who sacrifices more of their time, effort, energy, mental capacity, resources to the church than someone in the office of pastor or elder. Okay? Elders should model generosity. Right? We should be the ones who are setting the tone for this is what it looks like to be generous. Again, not just with money, but with everything. Right? Your abilities, your gifts, your talents, your fill in the blank. Okay? Right, elders should model, this is an important one. We'll talk about this next week when we talk about qualifications. Elders should model holiness for the church. Right, the role of the pastor, the role of an elder, if we're called to be examples, our example should be, hey, my life is what it looks like to follow Jesus faithfully, or at least striving to follow Jesus faithfully. Okay, elders should set the tone for this is what spiritual maturity looks like. Now, caveat, elders will not be perfect. Because elders are men, okay? Right? We're fallen men. We're sinful. We're imperfect. We're broken. And so, but this is part of setting an example. When someone in the office of elder, pastor, overseer doesn't set the tone as they should in holiness and spiritual maturity, that means they should be an example of what repentance looks like. Hey, I have sinned. This is what it looks like for me to repent of my sin. Okay, elders set the tone. Go first. Examples to the flock. And you put those two things together. Not domineering, but being an example to the flock. You get this sort of the mental picture that came to mind for me was elders should be the ones who are out front of the flock saying, hey, come with me. Follow me. Not standing behind the flock, cracking a whip and saying, get moving. Okay, it's setting the example. Out front, right? And then last thing we see in verse 4, Peter goes on and he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Here's what it comes down to. Elders are entrusted to care for the sheep, right? To shepherd, to lead, to guide, to protect, to defend. But the sheep don't belong to the elders. But the sheep don't belong to the pastor of the church or pastors of the church. We are hired hands. Like we are. This is a position of stewardship. Okay, according to what Peter says, right? The sheep belong to Jesus, the chief shepherd. He's the one who laid down his life for the sheep. Right, he's the one who gave himself to purchase the sheep. They belong to him. And one day he's going to come back. Right? And we're going to give an account. The elders, the pastors, the leaders of the church, the overseers, we will give an account for how we loved, served, fed, cared for, like how we shepherded the sheep entrusted to our care. Okay? We'll give an account for that. Shepherds, elders, pastors are yes, it's a position of authority in the church, but we are still under Christ's authority because Jesus is the head of the church. It's his church. To go back to our sentence, the church is Jesus ruled. Right? And those who lead in the church still give an account to him. Okay? So what does all this mean for you? Because basically, I've just preached my job description to you. So you're probably like, okay, great. What do I do with that? Okay? And that's a very perceptive question for you to think about. And I'm glad you were thinking it because I've got three things for you quickly. All right? Here's the first one. The church should know what to expect of your elders, of the elders. Right? You should know what to expect of those that are exercising oversight over you, who are caring for you, who are shepherding you, okay? Now listen, I also believe it's the church's job to raise up elders, so to be like really candid with you, my hope is that some of you in this room will one day be elders of Heartland City Church, okay? Right, like that's my hope. But even if that's not you, right, you should still know what to expect of your elders, okay? As we talked about a couple weeks ago, the members of the church will be held accountable for whom they affirm to lead in the church. Right, if you weren't here for that, like Paul, whenever there were issues with the teachers and preachers in the church in the New Testament, Paul didn't go after the preachers and teachers. He went after the church and said, hey, why are you allowing this to go on? So you should know what to expect of your leaders, okay? To say it another way, like even if you're not the one that's actually doing the job, you should know the job description so that you know if those who are doing the job are doing a good job at it. That was really confusing, wasn't it? Okay. Here's the second thing. The church should submit to the leadership of the elders. Okay. Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Listen, you should know what to expect of your elders. And as long as your elders are biblically qualified and are shepherding you according to what the word says, as long as the elders are fulfilling their biblical responsibility, exercising oversight willingly, eagerly, being the example, you have a biblical responsibility to submit to the elders. Bible's words, not mine. Okay. And then finally, here's the third thing. The church should pray for the elders. All right. To what I said just a minute ago, I would ask you specifically to pray that the Lord in his timing would raise up godly, biblically qualified men to serve at elders here at Heartland City. Like I want you to make that a regular prayer. If you write stuff down, go ahead and write it down. Pray for the future elders of Heartland City. Okay, men who love the Lord, men who love the church, men who will willingly and eagerly and sacrificially serve the flock that calls Heartland City home. Okay, but I also want to encourage you to pray, even now, for the Lord to strengthen myself and elders, to sustain us, right? And to protect the elders. Okay, we've been in the first four verses of 1 Peter chapter 5, but if you bounce down to verse 8, you read this. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now, to be clear, that is a warning for every one of us in the room this morning. Like, we should be sober-minded. We should be on alert. The enemy would love nothing more than to destroy all of you. Okay? But I don't think it's a coincidence that this comes just a few verses after Peter's thinking about the role of elders and pastors and leaders. Okay, because in some ways, to assume the responsibility of a leader, an elder, pastor, overseer, is to put yourself right in the crosshairs of the enemy. Okay, and it seems like, maybe I just see it because of the spaces that I inhabit and the things that I read and the things that I follow. Like, it feels like the enemy is just having a heyday in the church right now. Right? It doesn't take long. I mean, It's like every week it feels like there's another pastor or leader who has disqualified himself from ministry. There's another pastor who has left ministry because he's discouraged, he's exhausted, he's tired, he's beaten up, he just doesn't want to do it anymore. Right? There's another pastor who's, every week, another pastor whose doctrine is sort of conveniently, he's conveniently changed his understanding of Scripture to run, to assimilate with the culture as opposed to standing boldly against it. Right? The enemy is having a heyday on the pastors and elders and leaders of the church. Okay, listen, we are in a spiritual war. Like, we use that language sometimes. I think sometimes we think it's like apocalyptic stuff of movies. Like, it's going on around us, like, all the time, right now. Right? And listen, I don't know much about war. I won't pretend to. But I do know one way to win the war is to take out the leaders. Right? And listen, the enemy's after all of you. But the best way for the wolves to take out the flock is to eat the shepherd first. So that's why I'm saying, pray. Pray for your leaders, your elders, your pastors, okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to move into a time of response. The band is going to come up. They're going to lead us just in a song. Here's what I would invite you to do. Okay, whether you do it there in your seat, it's perfectly fine. If you want to come to the altar, perfectly fine. You can come lay hands on me. I'm cool, totally cool with that. But we're just going to have a moment where we just pray for the elders, the pastors, current, future leaders of Heartland City Church. Okay, because for Heartland City to become all that I hope that it will become, I just really believe it will take strong, bold, courageous, selfless, sacrificial men who will set the example and lead the charge and shepherd the flock that's entrusted to them. Okay? Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning and thank you for your word. Lord, I am grateful just in my role to know that you have not, you've given some instructions for how your church should function, how your church should be organized, that we're not just trying to figure this thing out on our own. If this is what your word says, and I believe it is, then we would be foolish to not try to walk in obedience to it. So, Lord, I do pray that you would raise up godly men here to serve in the role of pastor, elder, overseer, to shepherd the flock, to exercise oversight, to lead, to guide, to protect, to defend. Lord, I just believe there's men sitting here in this room right now that might one day fulfill that role. And I pray that you would, one, you would call them into that. But it begins with an internal desire. Lord, I pray that you would protect those men, that you would, even now, long before they ever are affirmed in the role of pastor or elder, would you just protect them? Would you help them to be the kind of men who are qualified to serve in that role? Or would you guard their hearts? Would you guard their families? Would you protect them from the enemy? Or would you just watch over them even now? And so, Father, I do pray for the day where I am flanked alongside of men who would help me, and so that we together could love and care for and lead your church well in whatever you have for us in the days, months, years to come. Lord, that we would run further, not just faster. But we need your help. We need your spirit, Lord, to call and to equip and to strengthen us for that work. And so, Lord, would you do that? Would you do that starting now so that one day there would be men who are shepherding the church that you have entrusted to their care. And Lord, may we do that for your honor and your glory, so that, as Peter says, we might receive the unfading crown of glory when you show up to bring your sheep home. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.